From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Tony Cox. So lots happening in the world of politics this week. Iran is high on the White House agenda as President Barack Obama pens a letter to Russia with love. Well, not quite. And Secretary of State Hillary Clinton talks missiles and diplomacy in the Middle East. Plus, Britain's Prime Minister Gordon Brown drops in at the Oval Office. But can America's special relationship or partnership with the UK bring an end to the global financial crisis? And the chairman of the Republican National Committee, Michael Steele, says sorry to radio talk show host Rush Limbaugh. More details in a moment. To discuss all of these stories, I am joined now by Sherrilyn Ifill, a civil rights lawyer and law professor at the University of Maryland Law School, and Ron Christie, CEO of Christie Strategies. He is also a former special assistant to George W. Bush. Ron, Sherrilyn, nice to have you back.
Thanks for having me.
Nice to be with you.
Quite a week. Let's start with the last story that we mentioned, that the chairman of the Republican National Committee, Michael Steele, apologizing to conservative commentator and talk show host Rush Limbaugh after calling him, quote, an entertainer. It all kicked off on D.L. Hughley's show on CNN on Saturday night.
We don't need incendiary rhetoric.
Exactly.
Like Rush Limbaugh, who is the de facto leader of the Republican Party.
He's No, he's not.
Well, I'll tell you what. I've never heard anybody.
I'm the de facto leader of the Republican Party.
Then you know what? then I can appreciate that.
And there's more.
Rush Limbaugh's an entertainer. Rush Limbaugh, his whole thing is entertainment. Yes, it's incendiary.
Right.
Yes,
yeah,
it's
you get
ugly.
The sense that he would
say
anything.
He influences the party. And I tell you what, you're the first Republican I've talked to, and I've talked to a lot, that said he's not the leader of this party. I've never heard anybody say that on any show.
Now, of course, Rush Limbaugh wasn't very happy to remain quiet on the subject. Here is his response to Michael Steele's comments on his radio show on Monday.
Tens of millions of conservatives and Republicans have nothing to do with the RNC, and right now they want nothing to do with it. And when you call them, asking them for money, they hang up on you. It's time, Mr. Steele, for you to go behind the scenes and start doing the work that you were elected to do, instead of trying to be some talking head media star, which you're having tough time pulling off.
Okay, Sherrilyn, I'm going to come to you first. What do you make of Steele's comments and Rush Limbaugh's reaction and Steele's mea culpa? It was kind of painful to watch.
It was painful but very revealing and I think important. I think people are now really seeing what a rudderless ship the Republican Party is, because when you, as a body of elected officials across the United States, have to rely on a talk show host to be your leader, and when the leader of the Republican National Committee is essentially frightened to say what is the truth, which is that Rush Limbaugh is an entertainer, that you know his rhetoric may be ugly and may be incendiary. I thought that was actually a pretty mild description of what Rush Limbaugh does. That he had to backtrack and eat his words. And so it really shows the kind of fear, and he's not the only one. I mean, there have been several others who've criticized Rush Limbaugh in recent weeks, and they've had to all backpedal and come back and apologize for criticizing a talk show host. I think it's extraordinary and really speaks to the leaderlessness of the Republican Party that's fresh out of ideas and fresh out of credible leaders.
Well, let's turn to a Republican. Ron, you are here with us. We have this spat between the chairman and the man seen as, by some, the leader of the conservative. What issues do you think are raised through this whole exchange? The Democrats obviously salivating over this. Do you think this is damaging to the party?
No, of course I don't. I mean, this is my favorite Shakespeare play, Much Ado About Nothing. I mean, the fact of the matter is that Rush Limbaugh is a very influential voice in the conservative movement. The Democrats have decided, well, George Bush isn't around, no Dick Cheney, no Karl Rove. We need a new boogeyman. We need a new scapegoat. And Rush Limbaugh is the perfect embodiment for the Democrats now to find somebody who they love to hate. The fact of the matter is I listen to Rush's show on a daily basis. I enjoy it. I think it was a mistake for Michael Steele to have called his show ugly and incendiary, because it's not, and that's what he apologized for. But the Democrats to go around and to suggest that Rush is the head of the party is wrong. But listening to his show today, Tony, I found this interesting. Rush said on his show today, he said, well, if the Democrats are going to say that I'm the leader of the Republican Party and that President Obama is the head of the Democratic Party as well as the president, then why don't we have a debate? Since they want to make me the leader of the party, let us have a debate. So now I would turn it back on the Democrats and say, if the Democrats are so interested in pointing and painting Mr. Limbaugh as the leader of the Republican Party, which he's not, then why don't the president and Mr. Limbaugh have a debate so that'll satisfy the Democrats' zeal to make him the leader of the party?
One of the questions that I would have for both of you before we go on to another topic is this. Rush Limbaugh aside, is this distraction healthy for a party that by its own admission is trying to rebuild coming off of the losses that it suffered last year? Sherrilyn, you first.
Ironically, I think this is actually all going to end up being helpful to the Republican Party, because what the party is going to learn is that while millions of people, some say 20 million, that may be an exaggerated figure, like to listen to Rush Limbaugh, it's not necessarily true that 20 million people want to vote Rush Limbaugh. And I think that many Americans, Republicans included, who may enjoy the show in the same way that many Democrats may enjoy listening to Michael Moore, they're going to still vote what makes sense for them and their families. And that means a more pragmatic way. They're not going to be voting their most extremist impulses that may make them laugh when they listen on the radio, or that they may even like when they listen on the radio. The reality is we're in a serious economic crisis. We've got two wars going on. We've got problems at home. And people vote for what's going to help them and their families. And what that means is that Rush is largely becoming irrelevant. It's a fringe element of the Republican Party. It didn't work with Sarah Palin. And ironically, it's going to help the Republicans refashion their party into one that's relevant and that speaks to more than the fringe element that would be willing to vote as well as listen to Rush's policy.
An argument could be made, Ron Christie, that what Rush Limbaugh is doing is galvanizing the base of the party at a time when, if you listen to what Michael Steele and others who are party leaders say, they want to expand the base of the party. Is this going to help them do that?
I think it will, and I absolutely agree with Sherrilyn's premise. Of course, I don't agree with the context, but I agree with the premise. This will be a good soul-searching for the Republican Party. We have been shellacked in the last two elections, and the party needs to recognize what it's for. You win elections by addition rather than subtraction, and we've lost voters by the millions over the last two elections. We need to have a honest soul-searching and recognize what we stand for, what the principles are for being a Republican Party, and offer clear policy alternatives in areas where we disagree with the president. And I think this will be a good process for us, because we need to articulate what we're for, as opposed to saying we're against this and we're against that. We need to be for something, be very positive, be very forward-looking, and that's what I think is going to be the net result of this Rush Limbaugh flap.
All right, let's move on to another topic. The economy is causing havoc, as we all know, on both sides of the Atlantic, and of course, this was the main topic of conversation between President Obama and British Prime Minister Gordon Brown in their meeting yesterday and in his appearance before a joint session of Congress today. The Prime Minister saying that the financial crisis is a global problem and it needs global solutions. My question to you, Sherrilyn, is will the Brown-Obama relationship be similar to that of Bush and Blair, thinking now how the relationship between those two may have cost Mr. Blair?
Well, to paraphrase Ron, let's hope not in content, in the sense that I think the idea of a strong U.S.-Britain alliance is a great one and an important one. It was unfortunately misused by President Bush to the detriment of both the United States, Great Britain. And so there's an opportunity to rebuild and refashion that relationship between Barack Obama and Gordon Brown. And it's a good idea, I think, to begin on the economic piece, because it is a global crisis. And because there are many people all over the world who are pretty PO'd at the United States, at some of our lax financial practices that really permitted this to spiral out of control in this country and to have a domino effect throughout the world. So I think it's important for Obama to reach out to some key allies and to begin to talk about a global solution and to rebuild relationship. It's a smart move. Gordon Brown is a pragmatic, low-key guy. He lacks the charisma of Tony Blair and hopefully will lack some of the impulses of Tony Blair that led him into so much trouble.
Now, Ron, in your former life working for former President Bush, you met with Gordon Brown, who was then Chancellor of the Exchequer in charge of Britain's finance. Just how sincere would you say, on one hand, and how capable, on the other, do you think Brown is with regard to solving the economic crisis?
I have to tell you, Tony, I led a delegation on behalf of the United States to Great Britain, upon which Tony Blair and Gordon Brown were the co-sponsors of the event, and I sat down with the then exchequer of the currency, Gordon Brown, for several hours in a one-on-one consultation, and his intellect is remarkable. His grasp and his comprehension of economic issues, to me, I found was particularly staggering. I mean, he really does understand what he's talking about. So I find that the American-British relationship has always been a strong one. I think that this president, Obama, and this new prime minister need to sit down. I'm glad that they have had the opportunity to sit down face-to-face to talk about the impact and the reach of this crisis, which has reached around the world. We must find a way out of this, and one of the ways that we will find a way out of this is close consultation and working with our allies, both here in the United States and in the banking industry, as well as our foreign leaders and our foreign friends around the world to dig our way out of this. So I'm very encouraged, not only by Gordon Brown, meeting with the president this morning, but also with the opportunity for the prime minister to address a joint session of Congress later in the day.
All right. Just before we go, one last topic we want to hit very, very briefly because we only have a few seconds left. It's another round for an Obama cabinet appointee, this time Kathleen Sebelius for Secretary of Health and Human Services. Sherilyn, I can break it down into one question really simply. It's actually a yes or no. Do you think that they've checked her taxes?
If they haven't at this point, you could knock me down with a feather. I'm sure she's been fully vetted, as they say.
All right. I appreciate both of you coming on. Our time is out. That was Sherilyn Ifill, a civil rights lawyer and law professor at the University of Maryland Law School, and Ron Christie, CEO of Christie Strategies. He is also a former special assistant to former President George W. Bush. He joined us from NPR's studios in Washington, D.C. Just ahead, black is back in the mainstream media, but is the coverage superficial? And pay the rent or head to the hairdresser? Even in this deep recession, that can still be a tough call. The Bloggers Roundtable, next. We'll be right back.